Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. Every day is Women's Day, yet we women don't mind having one day that celebrates our participation and contribution to society. So on this occasion, we decided to talk about women and their approach to money, both in a professional capacity and, of course, at a personal one. Joining me for this very interesting conversation today are Radhika Gupta, CEO of Edelweiss Mutual Fund, and financial planning expert Harsh Roongta. Thanks to both of you for joining in. Radhika, you're looking resplendent, I think, in the yellow sari.
Thank you.
So, you know, interesting conversation. An interesting topic. I think many times we want to be gender agnostic as women, but it's also important to keep noticing and, you know, noting the milestones along the way, right? So first thoughts, women and money, what comes to mind?
Women and money. So I'll talk about it from a professional point of view, and I think then from a, you know, money point of view. I think a lot of progress made, but a lot more to do. Every time, and I meet so many women, you know, the one thing that keeps sticking through my head is what I was taught by my grandmother as a child, that women need to be financially independent. And I can't emphasize that enough. They need to earn their own money, which means they need to have strong, sensible careers, and they need to know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. I think these are just the two basics. We've made some progress, I would say, since my grandmother's generation. But even today, when I look at my own industry, we have miles to go before we sleep. If you look at the number of women professionals, I was at an event, you know, of college alumni, where there was a CEO from manufacturing, a CEO from the film business, and me from financial services. And all three of us from three different industries were complaining about the fact that there were no women at the top in any of our industries.
Okay.
So I think that's the gap that we have to fill.
So it's not maybe not restricted only to financial services, but in within financial services, I mean, I'd like to believe that things would have improved over the years. Have they? I mean, is it equal opportunity or is it just lack of interest or what deters women from really going out there?
I think the good part is that financial services, and I've worked overseas also, mm-hmm. in India is a very, very professional industry. Mm-hmm. And it's a very good industry to work as a woman. And I, you know, I would give full credit to the ecosystem, the regulators. It's just a very good industry. But the fact is, you know, I mean, I was at a mutual fund conference a few weeks ago and I went into the speaker's lounge and everybody was a man. I went on the panel discussion and all the panelists were men. And I was looking down from the panel at the audience, and I'm sure 99% of the people were men. Mm-hmm. So I was standing out among black suits in a colorful sari. So that is also another reality. It's a good place to work, but perhaps we don't have enough women even in the mid-level. See, senior level is an outcome. Mm-hmm. It's like fund performance. But the input has to be a rising pipeline of girls in the junior and mid-level. And I don't see that yet.
Okay, well, that's some food for thought to open things out. Mr. Roongta, sir, in your experience over the many years, the decades of sort of advising people on money and finance, have women changed in terms of their mindset approach?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen this happening. But just to sort of start off on a light note, at least in this panel, we have two women.
Yes, we are in majority.
So we're not a man.
I think the way things have changed or what I have seen is, I mean, if you look at the banking industry itself, there are quite a few women who are there. I think maybe the fund management industry, for some reason, and I was talking to Radhika about this just before the show, I think it's probably an outlier. I mean, I don't see any reason why that should be any different for the fund management industry than it is for the banking industry.
That's an interesting observation. You do see many women bankers. You don't see too many women fund managers. When it comes to, you know, money management, also that was traditionally always seen as a male domain. The male of the house is going to take care of it and take care of those decisions. Mm. So then is it really women, I mean, to blame themselves because they've just chosen to be ignorant or perhaps, you know, uninvolved for so many years?
So I think that's a very interesting way of putting it because increasingly, see, we do basically wealth management or primarily life planning for, so the level of involvement is very high, which means, and typically now we see a lot more clients where both are working. Mm-hmm. And there are quite few clients where the lady is earning more than the husband. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is no longer a rarity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not great to generalize from anecdotal evidence, and maybe it sounds a little sexist, positive sexist, mm-hmm. In the sense that whatever women client, I mean, the women client that I've come across are obviously top of their line. They are, you know, people who have worked very hard for
yes.
this. They are
yes.
high achievers.
Yes.
They are at a certain level in mm-hmm. their profession. Mm-hmm. And very clearly the struggle shows mm. And the what they have achieved, the pride in what they have achieved clearly shows. Mm. The unfortunate fact is, I think the amount of effort, and this is a generalization mm-hmm. for whatever it is worth, I think the amount of effort that they have put in reaching their careers, mm. somehow they, when it comes to dealing with money management, yeah. okay, the same women, I mean, mm-hmm. she probably runs a very successful startup. She's number two, number one in her company. When it comes to money, mm. she's perfectly contented mm. to let her spouse mm-hmm. take
all the
decisions. Mm-hmm. And this, mm-hmm. when, at least as far as I'm concerned, when I speak to both of them, mm-hmm. I find the women, again, mm-hmm. generalization, positive sexist, mm-hmm. I find they're far more sensible about their money and their investment decisions mm-hmm. than their male counterparts.
I think we, you know, the financial services industry is capable of making money sound very complicated mm-hmm. and very inaccessible. So the terms, and we're all guilty of it, I think the terms are very complicated, everything's very complicated, and there is a myth that just to manage your money well, you need to always talk shop, talk stocks, mm. be obsessed with XYZ, which is not mm. the case. You mm. need to be reasonably goal-oriented. You need mm. to have a sensible understanding yeah. of your yeah. risk. You need to be disciplined.
Yeah, I think the third point is the most important
which
one.
Women which women are?
Which
women are?
Goal-oriented,
I mean, as a
discipline.
Generalization.
So, okay. So, I think the takeaway from the first part of this conversation is that women have all the ingredients that are required and so much more to manage not just public money, their own money as well. So, let's sort of talk about age groups, Radhika, because that's pretty much how it works with the you know financial management and planning. Now, if we're talking about young working women, as you said, I mean, it starts from there, right? Having the right career moves, making the right choices, and being focused. So women, as they start off mid-20s and the income flow starts coming in, what would you say to them when it comes to managing their own wealth?
So I think the first and foremost advice is to start really early. And I can't emphasize this enough, because what happens in any process, especially money, is that you will make mistakes. I mean, I did, you did, everybody will. You know, and you will learn. You will learn what your risk understanding is, what your goals are. You'll learn all this. When you make those mistakes in your 20s, when actually you've not earned that much income, by the time you get to 30s, I think you become a much smarter investor. I think young women and young professionals, when they start out thinking, they think, you know, I only earn 20,000 rupees a month. If I save a few thousand, what difference is it going to make?
Yeah.
Investing is a habit. So what I would tell young women is that when you've started to earn, one, get financially savvy, get basically financially savvy, and take out a monthly corpus. Start that habit of saving mm-hmm. and start putting that away mm-hmm. into something. I'm not even going into what that something mm-hmm. is, but start that process.
At least get the discipline going.
Get the discipline yeah. going of saving and mm-hmm. get the habit of being financially savvy. Know your basic fixed deposits, equities, etc., yeah. etc. Basic products.
Yeah.
You're not going to be perfect. You actually don't need mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. perfect. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So at least start taking interest, start knowing basic products and think about your own savings, which will eventually turn into investments as well. Mr. Roongta, your thoughts on this? Now, one situation that always arises, you know, everything starts with goal setting. Now at 25, 27, 28, you don't know what your goals are. You don't know if you're going in for higher education, dropping your job midway, getting married, or, you know, suddenly you have to take care of a parent as well. So it's very difficult to chart out a long-drawn roadmap for this age group. What would you advise here?
See, one of the things that we do, people have this mistaken notion that financial planners hmm. will ask you to invest today so that in budhape mein, you know,
you enjoy good life. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The aim of financial planning has to be able to enjoy your life. Hmm. okay, when you are still capable of enjoying your life, okay? And I think that comes from lack of guilt while spending your own money, okay? And that guilt does not come when you know that you are doing enough and that the path on which you are will help you meet all the goals that you have set for yourself.
But okay, what's a rule of thumb to follow over here? I mean, depending on your income flow and the actual, you know, expenses, some might have rent as an expense, or, you know, living expenses. Out of whatever remains, what should be the rule of thumb between saving? What should be the first instrument you look at? How do you begin?
When you are young, because your earnings are still to come, your best days are still to come, you need to spend, the way you should look at it is whatever you are earning, you are only earning 70% of whatever you are earning. Okay? That is your salary, that is your income, if you are self-employed. The rest is not there. Assume it's not
there. Assume you're earning 30% less than what you are actually earning.
Okay. And that 30% gets put aside for your future self. And magically, if you put that constraint on yourself, your expenses can expand to meet the amount of income available. They can also contract to meet the amount of income you make available.
True. I think that's a great way of putting it, because otherwise, all these decisions, I mean, you can, you know, rent a house which might be 50,000 rupees a month or 40,000. It's all decision making at the end of the day. And once you've carved out the savings portion, savings/investment first, you know this is how much you're left with, and this is how you have to sort of be within your means, as the age-old wisdom goes and says. So I think this is a great ground to start on for the young working professional lady. Now let's come to the middle-aged group, bulk of women out there who are in profession or maybe even homemakers. Now, here the concept of money has a lot of different sort of angles to it, Radhika, right? Because there's a spouse involved, there's a family involved. What have you seen here, and what are your first thoughts about this group?
So I think this is an important phase, because this is where you're earning the maximum income. This is also where you're probably, you know, you have the maximum financial needs in terms of potentially a home that you want to buy, which is very, very expensive, children's education. You know, many women want to start a business in their 30s or 40s after they've worked for some time. So I think you have a lot of needs. And this is the time to get reasonably financially savvy. If you're not, you know, you can go through your 20s making a few mistakes, but by the time you're in your 30s and 40s, I think you really need to get sort of more solid, just like you do in your career, honestly. One thing is that I think money should be a family decision. I think both husband and wife should be very, very involved in talking about money, whether one is earning or whether both are earning. Because ultimately money, as Harsh said, is used to fulfill goals. And at this point in your 30s, I think you should chart out what your goals are. You will have 20-year-old goals. You will have 20-year-old goals, like a child's marriage or a foreign education for a kid. You will have 10-year goals, you will have 5-year goals, you may have immediate goals. I think once you've agreed on those goals, then you start carving out pools of money, you know, so your debt is going to meet your 1-year goal. You know, for your longer term goals, you can obviously take more risks. But it's very important to come together and decide what those goals are going to be at different points in time.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's really the stepping stone and perhaps the most important.
By the way, homemakers should be, just because you're not earning doesn't mean you should not be
involved. You don't have a say.
You don't have a say, and that you can't have a say. You can still be a very, you know, there was a concept of Stri Dhan once upon a time, and, you know, women were very good budget keepers of the home. So they can still be very involved in planning the family's finances.
Oh, absolutely. Mr. Roongta, your thoughts on this, because you sort of advise couples and you see this come together. Do women really have an equal say in a lot of these matters, or how do you see their involvement?
So do they have an equal say? At least the women I meet do. I mean, because I tend to meet the more professionally qualified and do they want to have? I think it's more the intention rather than the ability. That's one. I think at this time, as Radhika said, you know, they're earning their most. And I think if they have not already set those ground rules, I think couples go through this, what shall you say, a little bit of a...
a rough patch?
Not a rough patch, it's an adjustment process.
Adjustment phase, okay.
Where you deal with this, your money, you know, my money, your money, our money, your goals, my goals, our goals.
Correct.
And I think going through this openly and successfully, and I think that's where you use people like us. But basically, I think if you don't do this at this stage, this one of the biggest reasons for discord among couples is the use of money.
Absolutely.
And it does not matter whether it is my money, I have earned it, or she has earned it. If it is, say, going to be used for assisting one of my relatives,
sure.
Even if it is money earned by me, I am sure my wife has a say in whether that money should be used for my So I think these things...
These are the real soft issues that you need to go
but
over.
But you need to make sure that you have a working understanding.
Absolutely.
On how you will resolve these soft issues. I mean, obviously you need to have goals and you need to invest.
Yeah, yeah.
But all that can
go... But the
go
bedrock up. Is right here. Yeah. Which is why I'm going to ask you another sensitive question on this question of your money, my money, our money. And here's where the conversation has to be, you know, gentle, subtle, and yet it needs to be had, right, Radhika? So for a couple, and it could be a very personal choice, depends on person to person, but would you say it's essential for a woman, even a married woman, to have the concept of her own money? Is that sense of security something that perhaps women should always consider, even while there's joint planning going on for the family?
I think you said this is a very personal conversation, so I'll share my view and it may not be everyone's. I think wholeheartedly, yes. I think, you know, just like you have control of your own career, it is important to have control, knowledge and comfort with your own finances, because we work very, very hard to earn money. Life is unfortunately uncertain.
Absolutely.
You know, money is not everything in life. But when untoward incidences happen, and one sees so many of these, you know, just being financially sound and secure as a woman gives you a lot of choices.
Absolutely.
And gives you a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
But I also think that having control of your own money, having your own account, etc., doesn't mean you can't have a wonderful relationship with your spouse. It doesn't mean that both of you can't sit and plan goals together. And it doesn't mean that there are some things that you want to spend your money on that your spouse may disagree, but because you're running, you also do that. So it doesn't mean that, you know, it's not black and white. But the starting point, in my view, needs to be that you have control over what you want.
Absolutely. So go out there and have the conversations you need to have, even though they might be slightly uncomfortable, because in the longer run, they really help you, your spouse, and the family. Okay, so now let's turn our attention to women as they're approaching retirement age and they need to get ready for the remainder of the life. A large part of that might eventually end up being without the spouse as well. So here again, Radhika, the concept of security becomes paramount, correct?
It does. And, you know, there are a couple of things to keep in mind. And I don't think retirement is a conversation you should have when you hit retirement. You should actually start planning for it 5-10 years before retirement, because money is a process. This whole life cycle that we discussed from 22 is a process. I think what you should start doing as you approach retirement is, firstly, hopefully you've built up a corpus now. So retirement is not something to worry about. That's, you know, if you've done your financial planning well, hopefully it's not something to worry about. Then you should start thinking of ways where, one, you can make your portfolio a little bit more conservative and also get that income you need on a monthly basis. I think income is what most people seek in their retirement when they don't have a regular income. So you should gradually work to build your portfolio there. I think retirement is also a time, you know, as Harsh said, we earn money to enjoy it. Retirement is also a time to figure out what are those dreams, those aspirations I had that I could not fulfill in my working years and that I now have, you know, the financial security and stability to do. So take time out to do that in your retirement. I think in a lot of conversations about retirement, we miss that part. So retirement is also a time to, you know, fulfill those wishes. But make sure that you're finding a way to earn a regular income during retirement so that you're not dependent on anyone. I think that's the most crucial thing.
Okay, absolutely. Mr. Roongta, your thoughts on this and also aspects of security? Because as you know, Radhika said, you never know what tomorrow might throw up. So in the event of the spouse not being around, or in the event of, God forbid, a discord in the family with the children, what does a woman need to do much before she hits 60, actually, so that she ring fences herself from any of these eventualities?
So the biggest thing that she can do is be involved in the process. Please be aware where, even if it's your husband's money, you should be aware where that money is. Who is it going to? Have you sat down and have worked out an inheritance plan? I mean, 90% of the clients I meet haven't made a will.
Don't have a will.
And the first thing I ask them is, why haven't you made a will? And they say, no, but we're not going to die. So I said, good. I mean, what they meant was that we're not going to die soon.
Yeah, it's not happening immediately.
So the point is, I think more than the inheritance part, I think it's important if you're involved to know where the money is and what will happen to it. Okay, I think that's very important. Second thing for women especially is, it's a proven biological fact that statistically speaking, they will outlive the male. So they need to plan for longer, which means when they need to plan for longer means the amount that they would need for retirement versus a male of the same age will be higher. So I think those are the things that, so these are the differential advices.
Correct.
I mean, otherwise the advice remains the absolutely the same whether it is a man or a woman, right?
Okay.
I mean, plan for it in advance, make sure that you are not dependent. Third is simplify things. I think that's something people miss, you know. I see, I have clients who would have 120 folios in mutual funds. They'll have four real estate properties.
Wow.
How are they going to manage this? They're finding it difficult to manage today. Once they're going to be 60, how are they going to manage it? So I think simplifying your financial lives.
Right.
This is not diversification. This is idiocy.
Yeah, it's complexity. This is just...
So I think...
No, and I think Harsh said, you know, if I can just add one thing, you know, even things like having a nominee on your bank accounts, it's in retirement and also post you.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's also one phase. You've earned money, you probably have children, you want to leave it behind to a charity or children or whoever. But just being aware and keeping all the paperwork in check, which is a big deal.
I mean, that
also needs to be done. And now there are planners, services that can help you do it. But keep all that stuff in check.
No, absolutely. So I think three-step process, first of all, get involved. Secondly, declutter. Clear up all the excess investments or misinvestments, so to speak. And thirdly, get the paperwork in order. I mean, these are the things that you can definitely look at during your earning phase, during your working phase, so that you're absolutely set by the time you are ready to retire. We're down to the last thoughts. So any quick final tip or advice to all the young or middle-aged or senior-aged women out there?
I think build great careers, build great homes as we've done, and don't run away from your money. You work very hard to earn it. So let it work a little harder than you.
All right.
For you.
Brilliant. I'm going to keep that in mind as well and give up on the Saturday sleep and make sure that I look at my own money as well. Mr. Rungta?
So treat money just like the way you have treated running your family or making your career. Believe me, money is much less complicated than what you have already achieved. If even one woman seeing this show, you know, internalizes that, I think this would have been worth
it. I heard a great quote that if a girl is smart enough to earn her money, then she's definitely wise enough to invest it.
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful. On that very inspiring and optimistic note, we're going to wrap up this conversation. Thanks very much. Hopefully, it will go out and send a message, get people to get up there and act and take charge of their own money. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.